My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Have you signed up yet? I know you still have a week. A week if you're going to pick the Thursday night game that kicks off the NFL season, or if you're going to pick the Friday game in Brazil. That will be a first for us in the NFL realm. If you're going to join us on Survivor Island, you're running out of time. Actually, I haven't signed up yet. Well, I've gotten the invite, but it's to an old email, and I don't even use the email anymore. So I just need to open up the link that's available on either Twix or Facebook and go ahead and make my first pick so that I don't forget. The rules are there, by the way. When you open up the link, it's really easy to find the rules. It's our Survivor pool. We call it Survivor Island, though it's more like an archipelago now. I think we have 4 islands. And you're picking one NFL game per week straight up. You can only select a team one time. And so Bob came to me on Wednesday and said, well, what's the strategy? I said, the strategy is don't get cute. Pick a winner as close to a sure thing as you can possibly come up with in the NFL. Now, obviously in the NFL, there is no such thing as a sure thing. And that's why it keeps people guessing. That's why it keeps Vegas and bettors guessing. Because every single week we have storylines and results and upsets, even if you're looking at the odds, that just defy logic. But that's why we love it. I tell you frequently, try to remind you, when you make predictions, the NFL laughs in your face. And yet still, someone on our page asked me who my Super Bowl pick is. It's August! They don't even have their final rosters done, for heaven's sakes. I am not making a Super Bowl pick. But the strategy, as I relate to Bob, don't get cute. Pick a winner. He said, but what if, and I cut him off, because he was going to ask about, what if I should save some of the sure things for later in the season? And I said, chances are you won't make it past week 6. The majority of people are out after 6 weeks. The vast majority, as in millions of people, are out by week 6. Very few people survive to the end of a season. And if you do, you probably already won. So don't get cute. It's called Survivor Island for a reason. Survive. Worry about next week, next week. I tried to hammer it home with him. I hope he listened to me, because if you try to get cute and you save, oh, the Chiefs for later in the year, or you save the Ravens, or you save the Niners, well, chances are you're not going to get to later in the year to be able to use those. It's a little bit like having saved timeouts in a really tight game at the end. Oh, good. Save your timeouts just in case you need them. So make sure you join us on Survivor Island. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page. At Amy After Hours on Twix. And there's also a poll up. We're asking you to make your pick for WNBA Rookie of the Year. I will retweet again periodically, but on Facebook, That link to Survivor Island is pinned to the top of the page. 855-212-4227. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We are ushering in a Thursday, which means we're 1 week away from the NFL season kicking off. And you know what that means.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
Hand off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We finally get the named starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but according to head coach Mike Tomlin, this actually wasn't an easy choice.
I met with both quarterbacks here just a few minutes ago after practice, and I informed them that Russ is QB1 going into week one. It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. Decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct. Both guys have been really professional.
That's good to know, since they are professional quarterbacks. And of course, each of them wants to start hoping for kind of a new lease on life, if you will, when it comes to their careers. Justin was acquired after Russ, but I'm not sure that has anything to do with it. Russ was tabbed the guy in the pole position by Mike Tomlin, going back to even the offseason workouts. And he stuck with that, even though Russ only took 25 preseason snaps.
A lot of work got done in the practice setting. You guys come to our practices. They're intense, and they're intense by design, because we got to know. I hate speculation. It's a football-like environment. We try to make it as football-like as we can, and I saw enough to be comfortable, certainly.
I'm super excited to be, here. Obviously, I came here to help us win. That's the focus, and I think, just the best part is how hard we've all worked every day, from all the way from OTAs to, Latrobe, and obviously we got a great season ahead of us, and we're excited about it.
So Mike Tomlin made this decision known to his team on Wednesday. Then he presented his final answer, if you will, to us a little bit later on. Still, though, neither quarterback had a ton of success in the preseason games in which we saw them. Justin Fields took a lot more snaps on the field. At least Russ's group, the ones, were able to score a touchdown in preseason game number 3. But yeah, this is a situation where they're looking for something, anything, to spark the offense. And then you have, this idea that, hey, maybe Russ should be looking over his shoulder because the competition was relatively close. And Tomlin sees a lot of positives with Justin.
Just getting to know Justin's capabilities, man, we like it. I know you guys might have some questions about the potential of package football, given his skill set, and that's certainly on the table. But I'm not going to get into many details regarding that or things of that nature, because it doesn't help us from a competitive advantage standpoint. But make no mistake, his talent, his unique talent, as it pertains to mobility, is something that we're open to weaponizing.
Okay. There's so much there from Mike Tomlin. It's terrific. Package football, meaning could we have some specific packages in specific situations for Justin? Think Taysom Hill, though probably not as broad a skill set. But yeah, could Justin, with his legs, be called on to make a play? Russ doesn't scramble a lot anymore. When he doesn't do it well. So there is that potential. And I love that he talks about weaponizing that ability and that athleticism from Justin. But as for Russ, as QB1, this is his third team in 4 years. Does that give him a chip on his shoulder?
I feel like that every day. You try to prove yourself right, just who you are, how you go about it. I think that I think that when you look at it, you know, over my career, you know, over just the experience that I've had, you know, those 10 years in Seattle were really special. You know, it was always home for me and just a place I loved. Obviously, Denver, you know, the first year didn't go the way that, you know, expected, obviously being injured and everything else. And that's part of the game. It's a physical natured game. And sometimes, you know, life doesn't always go the way you want it to. I think last year I felt like me again. I've told you guys that before.
9-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion, but it did not go the way that he or the Broncos wanted, and he was benched late last season for Jarrett Stidham. This is a new opportunity for Russ with Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. Ooh, can't wait to see how this works out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our QB news, brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Well, this leaves us with one QB starting job that we haven't yet associated with a name. Now, for the entire preseason, I believe the Patriots were going with Jacoby Brissett. But we found out from new head coach Jerod Mayo that he was going back and forth, and they were trying to figure out what they wanted to do. And he's even said, like Mike Tomlin, he struggled trying to make this choice.
I think it's important to remember, like, what's good for the team today may not be good for the team weeks down the line. And so I think the challenge is, you want to win every single game now, but also we're trying to build something special here in New England. So that to me was, you know, that was a challenge.
Now, if people are reading between the lines, you would think they might interpret that as we're going to go with Jacoby Brissett now, potentially Drake May in the future. We'll see, because apparently we don't have to wait much longer to find out who will start week one for New England.
I know everyone wants to know that. I'm going to talk to the individual players tomorrow. Team meeting tomorrow, and then I'll get it to you guys. We've made a decision, just haven't communicated. And honestly, I want those guys to hear it first from me before they hear it from someone else.
We have made a decision. That includes the OC, Alex Van Pelt, Jerod Mayo. This is a big deal, but also the offensive line factors in, which is why I think they should, probably will go with Jacoby Brissett. I know Drake May is terrific and has a higher ceiling and people are excited to see him, but let's not get the rookie killed in his first week. That can be an issue. Think Joe Burrow, his rookie season, and how bad that Bengals offensive line was in front of him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and QB News, turning our attention to another rookie, the number one overall draft pick. So two spots ahead of Drake May, Ryan Poles is loving what he sees from Caleb Williams, not just because of his talents on the field, but because of his mentality and his leadership.
There's people that come into those situations and they try too hard. And it's like, man, that's awkward. You know, it's hard to buy into that. And then there's guys that just, they can navigate that so naturally because they're authentic and it's real. And that's what he's done. And then on top of that, just as a professional player, like, you have to perform. You got to do some things that guys are like, okay, like there's something different about you. And then pair that with a good natural, just good social skills. Some cool things happen and leadership starts to blossom. And that's what you see now.
So far, everyone in Chicago is raving about Caleb Williams and the way that he approaches this challenge of being their quarterback, their starter from day one, but also with all this pressure on him. That's the general manager, Ryan Poles. He also was talking about what he's seen from Caleb on the field in preseason.
Anytime you draft a player because of what you saw from college, and you see some of those things transfer over to the pro game, that gets you excited. If it's the other way, it scares the crap out of you. You know, it's like, where did that guy go? And we haven't had that with really any of our draft picks. Everybody has been as advertised or if not better.
Chicago Bears open up September 8th. Imagine the hype around this first game against the Tennessee Titans. So second-year QB and Will Levis, who will be on the other side of the field. So there's your rookies. We could theoretically still have draft picks 1, 2, and 3 all starting in week number one. But again, we'll wait on the Patriots coming up on Thursday. Cowboys don't have to worry about who their quarterback is. It's Dak Prescott. He's not holding out. He's good to go. Now that they've got CeeDee Lamb back at practice, they're thrilled. But CeeDee wants to see his quarterback get paid and stay in Dallas because now he's there for the long haul.
It's amazing, bro. If you go look at our numbers together, they're at the top of the charts. And I have no doubt that they're going to get a deal done. And we all know that I want Dak here. Jerry wants Dak here, too. So let's just get this under control. Kill the speculations. Let's go win.
I'm such a fan of Dak's and appreciate all of the great things that we all know that he's there. And I appreciate his work ethic probably more than anything out here. And I can't tell you how proud I am that we've got him this year to start this campaign.
Okay, great. That's awesome. How are the negotiations going, though, Jerry Jones?
When you look at a situation, you've also got to weigh, okay, what are the consequences of the other side of the coin? And so Dak's situation right now, for me, from my mirror, has more to do with our situation than it does with the merits of Dak Prescott being quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. It's a word salad. I like it. He's mastered the art of saying a whole bunch without saying anything. And honestly, I think it's intentional most of the time. Sometimes it's not. He just meanders and who even knows what he's talking about. But in this particular case, I think he's deliberately trying to throw us off the scent and say a bunch of words so that it shows up on radio shows like ours. But really, you are no more clued in or keyed in to what's happening than you were when he first started talking. And honestly, you just might be confused. So QB news. Oh my goodness, we are a week out. And plus some big college football this weekend. The Hubs and I were talking about our schedule for Saturday and realizing that really every day part, we're going to have to make sure that either we tape a game or we have it on while we are doing other things. For instance, on Saturday, we're planning to do some cleaning, but we're going to have to clean. This is after we do our grocery shopping, but we're going to have to clean while the game is going on, right? So we're not going to be able to, the game in Atlanta, you know, that big game in Atlanta. It's funny when you have different entities, so corporate partners who aren't authorized to use the names of the two teams or point to the game specifically. We are not in that situation. I'm not using the names of these two teams to make money. So it's Clemson, it's Georgia, it's number one hosting number 14 in Atlanta, and it's going to be a scene. So yeah, that one kicks off at noon Eastern time. Gosh, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. You could have breakfast with your college football. And so as we're planning on doing some cleaning and getting a few things done around the house after grocery shopping, we realize, of course, that the game's going to have to be on maybe in multiple rooms in the house so that we're not missing it as we're moving from room to room. And then I think I mentioned this on our last show. He asked me if I wanted to go see. Now, okay, this is my Longhorn loving hubby. He grew up north of Austin. He loves the Longhorns. I've married into a Longhorn family, so I have to be interested as well. He asked me if I wanted to go see the new Reagan biopic, the new movie starring Dennis Quaid. We're both big history buffs. And he said, hey, do you want to go see a matinee? Well, sure. Well, let's save some money. Let's go see a matinee. Have our popcorn early. Except that he picks a matinee that's exact the same time that his Longhorns are playing. So we have to tape that one. That'll be on the DVR. Thankfully, we have the DVR. And he actually said, he tried to make it very clear to me, I'm not one of those people that won't know the result before we watch the game. Okay, that's fine. I don't need suspense to go with my college football. So yeah, we'll have the Texas game, the Texas season opener with Bevo. He's really my favorite part. This one's against Colorado State. And then for our triple header, Texas A&M and Notre Dame, that game taking place on Saturday night. You guys, there's a lot of college football this weekend that you can't miss. So it's kind of fun that he's much more into college than he is the NFL. That means that our TV will be on football all weekend long. That's just how it's going to go. Thankfully, one more Sunday. What shall I do with my last Sunday before football runs my life? a cookout. We're working on Sunday night and Monday night, so I'll be here, not taking off Labor Day. But a cookout sounds delicious. Burgers, sausages, corn on the cob. Bob's the griller. I'm the eater. But he likes it. He swears he loves grilling. All right, let's see. What do I want to do? Coming up. Oh, Guardians and Royals going back and forth atop the AL Central. How did that happen? And the Astros and Phillies. These games weren't real close, except for the first one in the series. And the Astros strike back. Glad to have you with us. Who is your WNBA Rookie of the Year? We've got a poll up at Amy After Hours or my account. And then also you can find it on Facebook. 855-212-4227. Good morning. It's a Thursday. We're getting closer to a holiday weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The next delivery. A swing and a little looping liner toward left field. Base hit! In to score is Naylor! And the Guardians have scored four and take a 6-5 lead. Here it comes. A swing and a drive, deep center field. Schneeman near the track, makes the catch! Ball game! Aye, for a minute, 19,000 held their breath. The Guardians, with a mammoth come-from-behind win, take over first by a game, beating the Royals 7-5.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Guardians had lost the first three of this series between the top two teams in the Central Division, but they salvaged the day game on Wednesday. Oh, no. This is what happens when you work overnights. They all blend together. The Guardians win a day game. That's the most important information from that sentence. And yes, as you hear with Tom Hamilton on Guardians Radio, they are now a game up again on the Royals, though it is Kansas City that is on a scorching pace that has one of the best records in baseball since the All-Star break. We talked about the other one earlier in the show, the Diamondbacks right now. They've won 21 of 27. So similar to what the Royals have done in reeling in the Guardians. But a good win for Cleveland to salvage at least one from that series. And man, the races in the American League, they are terrific. Just as a side note, in case you were in any way wondering, the Chicago White Sox are the first team to be officially eliminated, mathematically eliminated from playoff contention. They dropped a doubleheader to the Rangers on Wednesday and are now sitting on 103 losses. Now, that's part of what makes the Royals story so That was a combination between interesting and intriguing, and it came out intriguing. Yep. Ryan's considering it. He's considering it. This is what happens. I put words together. It's like celebrity marriages. I come up with new words. It happens on a fairly routine basis. So yay. Yay me. So the White Sox, it's intriguing because they're sitting on 103 losses. Well, the last season with the Royals was 106 losses. And now look at them sitting on 75 wins and very much in line for a division title. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. While we're talking about the American League, we know the Astros also surging since the All-Star break. Now, their numbers aren't quite as good. They've mostly been able to overtake, like bypass, and now get a lead on the scuffling Mariners. But yeah, the series between the Phillies and the Astros, this was actually a good one. Not necessarily close in terms of each day's scores, but you got to see a lot of firepower.
Here's Alvarez. He has two homers today, and he smashes this one pretty deep to center. Marsh is racing back at the wall. See you later! A three-homer game for Yordan Alvarez as he goes back-to-back with McCormick. And the Astros' lead is 10-0. 2-2 to Schwarber. Swing and a miss. Got him on a high fastball. Schwarber strikes out for the third time today. That's 11 strikeouts for Arrighetti. Two away.
Boy, just dominating stuff from Spencer again.
Spencer Arrighetti. Is that one of the best names in Major League Baseball?
Arrighetti and Schwellenbach on the Braves. Those are my favorite two right now.
Spencer Arrighetti. It's not just the Arrighetti part. It's also the Spencer part. It's perfect. It just, it's the right combination of, yeah, like interesting and fun to say, spicy Arrighetti with Spencer.
It's Italian and then just Spencer.
Just Spencer. Spencer Arrighetti. I like to say it. The thing is, though, if you say it too many times, or if I won't speak for you. If I say it too many times, eventually I'll say it wrong. So let's just go with one more time. Arrighetti. But yeah, what a dominant performance from him as the starter for the Astros. He goes into the eighth inning. He allows just two hits, no runs, 11 strikeouts in throwing 103 pitches. Yeah, he's certainly improved from the start of the season.
What I've been emphasizing these last couple months is I've started to do just that, give the team a chance. So I think the more that I make that my focus and the less it is about me, it's gone better.
Want to hear something really neat about Arrighetti? Spencer Arrighetti.
Does he like spaghetti?
I would think most 24-year-olds probably do like spaghetti or pasta. At some point, I stopped calling it spaghetti and started calling it pasta. He was nearly born on Y2K. He's 24, so he's just older than you. And he was born on January 2nd, 2000. How about that? Could you imagine being I mean, there were Y2K babies, but that's pretty close. January 2nd, 2000.
Was the real Y2K celebration, well, fear, was it December 31st or January 1st?
Well, it was.
Exactly at midnight?
It was midnight, 12 o'clock. And actually, it's kind of a fun story about where I was at that moment. But it was New Year's Eve, but it wasn't until 12 o'clock when theoretically the computers and all of the various softwares and sites were just going to go haywire because they somehow wouldn't be programmed and wouldn't know to continue into 2000. That was the idea.
So the impending doom celebration or fear was December 31st night. I'm just trying to pinpoint it. Were people more scared the day of? Maybe it would happen later in the day?
No, they were expecting it to happen when the clocks changed, that everything would crash because the computers wouldn't know to go to 2000. I think I'm simplifying it, but it's something along those lines.
Yeah, something about the numbers not having an extra 2 from the 1, because it'd be 1999.
Yes, exactly that. Thankfully, we continued on. Thankfully for Spencer Arrighetti's family, because his mama was ready to pop and she had him 2 days later. That's kind of fun. 24 years old. I know we're in 2024, but I can remember Y2K and where I was in that moment so vividly that it can't possibly be 24 years ago. Would you like to know where I was?
Where?
I was in Nashville. At a Tim McGraw Faith Hill concert, New Year's Eve concert. It was a tour that they were doing together. And she was singing at midnight at on New Year's Eve. And at that moment, ABC was it was earlier in her concert. ABC was broadcasting live. The place was going crazy, la, la, la. But at that moment, she was singing. She was on stage. And yeah, people are looking at their clocks. She ends up leading like a countdown of sorts, if you will. People were wondering what was going to happen. Nothing happened. Nothing at all happened except Happy New Year. That was it.
That'd be my biggest nightmare. If there was like an impending danger.
Mm-hmm. Yes. To be in a crowd.
A completely almost sold out crowd on a special holiday.
Yeah, it was definitely sold out. There were 30,000 plus in there. It was pretty crazy.
That's nightmare fuel.
Yeah, it was awesome. Anyway, it was a moment that I remember like it was yesterday, except that it was 24 years ago. Wowzers, actually 24 and a half years ago, nearly 25 years ago. Holy crap, I'm old. Okay, back to Spencer Arrighetti and the Houston Astros. So yeah, Spencer, 24, locked in, 11 Ks, but manager Joe Espada, he's more excited about the fact that they saw the bats working finally.
Home runs, we got two out RBI singles. Jordan Alvarez, are you kidding me right now? Like, you know, that's the offense that I expect our boys to be every day.
Yeah, the Astros have the potential, and they'll be scary in the postseason. I know they've had some injuries. I mean, stop me if you've heard this before. Every team has had injuries, for sure. But because of their experience, Justin Verlander trying to get back in the groove now, too. Man, he's ancient. But he's got playoff experience and he's a Bulldog. And so to have that group of guys who's been, well, they haven't all together been to seven consecutive ALCS, but just the standard of excellence and the experience that they do have on their roster, not to mention the big bat, the loud bat of Yordan Alvarez. Oh my goodness. The call's there with Robert Ford and Steve Sparks on Astros Radio. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me online. And Doug sends me this message. What? No mention of Canes football? I can't wait to see the Miami Hurricanes slaughter the yellow belly chicken gators in Gainesville. People get so incensed. All right, Doug. Well, that's for you. I just mentioned your Miami Hurricanes against the Florida Gators. I got to call them by their real name, not the name that you just gave them. Let me see if I can. I do not, much to the chagrin of many people who have higher hopes for me, I do not have the schedule memorized. They actually kick off at the same time that the Longhorns and Colorado State kick off. So it's 2:30 Central Time at 3:30 Eastern Time there. Doug, I'm proud of you. Thank you for reaching out. Coming up on Thursday night, we're really excited. It only happens once a year, but it's so much fun to have Josh Pate. He's Late Kick Josh. He has a wildly popular college football podcast. It's part of CBS Sports. He's on HQ. He's so much fun. And you guys, I have a surprise for him. I cannot tell you more. I've got to get his authentic reaction. I'm afraid he might hear it somehow. So I cannot tell you more, except you do not want to miss this interview because I have a big surprise for Josh. So Josh will be part of our show come this time tomorrow, during the show at some point. He will join us. Looking forward to that. And he's actually based in Nashville as well, but he's getting out on the road to cover week one of college football. All right, take our poll. Who's the WNBA Rookie of the Year? With just a handful of games left, you can find that at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours and then Facebook as well. Glad to have you with us. Ooh, it's starting to feel a lot like September. Here's our latest sports up.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
From the stretch, the 1-1 pitch here for Arenado. He swings, ground ball, base hit center field. Here comes Wynn. Here comes the throw. It's a Redbird winner as Wynn scores standing, light up the night in downtown St. Louis. Nolan Arenado with a walk-off base hit, and the Cardinals win this one. The final in St. Louis, 4-3.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Lots of drama affecting the National League West in the standings that are tight. On Wednesday, we had the St. Louis Cardinals, and you hear that on their radio network, coming back against the San Diego Padres. So Padres take a loss, but the Diamondbacks, they rally past the Mets on a great Corbin Carroll grand slam in the eighth inning. On the Mets pitching, man, left that door wide open with all the walks. And then Edwin Diaz gives up the home run to Carroll. Actually, Carroll's second of the game. And if you missed it, we talked to Todd Walsh, who was there in the ballpark. Fans are going nuts. They've got World Series aspirations still building on last year. But it was a slower start to the season. And so we'll maybe bring back part of that conversation next hour. So, yeah, the Mets, they're fighting, scratching, clawing, trying to stay relevant in the NL East, or mostly in the wild card race there, even with the Phillies losing to the Astros on Wednesday. Mets still, their hopes rest, like the Braves, actually, in a lot of ways, their hopes rest there in the wild cards. And so you had the Diamondbacks continuing their torrid pace, winning their 21st out of the last 27. But with a nod to all of the great drama in the NL West, I got to say my favorite part was still Shohei Ohtani and his dog connecting for the first pitch. It wasn't really a pitch. If you haven't seen it, you have to check it out on my Twix or just search for it online. But at A-Law Radio, it's amazing. Apparently, he'd been training his dog Decoy for the last 3 weeks, and they'd worked it out so that he could carry Decoy out to the mound, set the ball down on the rubber, walk back behind the plate. Decoy didn't move. He didn't touch the ball. He left it there until he got the sign from his dad. He picks up the ball. He books it to home plate, and then at the end, Shohei had taught him when he puts his hand up, essentially Decoy stands on his back legs and smacks his hand, almost like he's giving him a high five, and gets treats for his trouble. Why last night? Well, because it was Shohei Ohtani and Decoy bobblehead night. If you can find a picture, I haven't seen the gold one. So Ryan mentions there was one gold one. I've only seen the standard issue, the standard issue Decoy Shohei bobbleheads. The Ohtani family, the bobbleheads, and Ryan did point this out earlier. Yeah, I read about it. There were people waiting 7 hours ahead of time. 10 hours before the first pitch, but 7, 8, 9 hours before the gates ever opened. As early as 9 o'clock LA time on Wednesday morning because they wanted to get a bobblehead. I would take a bobblehead. I'm not a big fan of bobbleheads. Producer Jay gave me one for Christmas a couple years ago. It was Obi-Wan Kenobi. So not a sports bobblehead, which I kind of like. But anyway, the bobblehead with Shohei and his dog, that's unique and obviously would be a collector's item for people who love baseball or just love dogs. So yeah, apparently by mid-afternoon, the line was so long that they had to change what they normally do pregame, and they had to open up the gates because they weren't letting people in to that point, and they weren't planning on letting people in, but the line was starting to stop up traffic. It just turned into a big mess. And so, once again, speaks to the popularity of Shohei Ohtani and his global renown, his global interest. I wonder what would happen, and I actually don't know if Caitlin Clark has a dog, but I wonder what would happen if there was a Caitlin Clark bobblehead with her dog, or a dog, a family dog. Decoy. He's got a cult following on social. Did you know that? The dog does.
Well, Ohtani has a cult following, so I assume the dog has a cult following. Mm. Also, it was so of the 42,000 bobbleheads they had, 1,700 were golden. So
wow, so that's not as rare as what we thought. Okay.
I thought it would be cool, like a golden ticket, and then be worth like probably $10,000.
Nice. Shohei can't afford that. He's already been taken for a ride and lost $16 million plus. The first 40,000 fans got the bobbleheads, when I was driving in listening to the game between the Orioles and Dodgers, so I listened to the last few innings on the radio, they were at 53,000. So there were a lot of people who were left without them, but still, 40,000 bobbleheads is pretty impressive.
I know New York does 25K to 15K, depending on the event. Mm. So that this is like double the amount. And that's one of my pet peeves. They can produce enough bobbleheads for every ticket sold.
Mm-hmm.
Just do that instead of having limited amount.
If you're wondering what the gold looks like, did you find it?
I did.
The Dodgers posted a photo, and a GIF too. Little video, I guess it is, a GIF and a video, where Shohei and Decoy are entering the stadium and they get the first gold bobblehead. So that if you're looking for it, the Dodgers have it on their Twix, and also we can share it at Amy After Hours. So that was pretty tremendous. And afterwards, when the game was done, Shohei was interviewed on Sportsnet LA, and he was asked about that moment with his sweet pup Decoy.
I think I was more nervous with the ceremonial pitch than Decoy, but I'm glad that everything went well.
How long did you have to train him to get to do what he did? It was a very special moment.
どのぐらい練習したんですかと。
3週間ぐらいしました。
3 weeks.
3 weeks. They'd been working on it. So when he wasn't watching tape, when he wasn't prepping for the games, when they weren't traveling, I mean, he's told us in the past he sleeps a lot. That's what they were doing. They were working with Decoy on his ability to fetch the first pitch. It's awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As I say, check out the video. It's tremendous. From now on, I think all first pitches should be fetched by pups. And a lot of these teams do have stadium pups or team pups because we agree on nothing in this country except for the NFL. And puppies. That's what we agree on. The NFL and dogs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page. Also on Twix at Amy After Hours. If you want to vote, we're asking you the WNBA Rookie of the Year. And it's going to be a tight finish between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese for a couple of reasons. They continue to rewrite the record books. Another one for Caitlin Clark last night as the Fever beat the Sun. First time in 11 tries, so they're also getting better as a team. She's got the most three-pointers of any rookie in league history.
Yeah, I think the three-point record is cool, and I think it just speaks to the way we play offense and the way we've been playing offense, especially as of late, like just fast, up-tempo. I feel like I'm definitely capable of shooting it a little bit better. Like I feel like I've gotten some tough roles over this course of this year, but even that last one tonight, like I felt like it was in. That one really upset me a little bit, but I still feel like I'm shooting it well. I feel like I'm taking good shots, and that's the most important thing for this team.
Yeah, so she's actually not shooting as well as she did when she was at Iowa. She's shooting roughly 33%. A couple of different stretches over the course of the season where she shot better. So I think I saw in one stretch she was up to about 37%. But for the most part, her major impact on the league has been through her passing. Remember, she had the 19-assist game, which is most ever in a single game, rookie or veteran. She's already got more assists by a rookie in like over the course of a single season and is getting closer to the all-time league record for most assists in a season. She's the only one to have a triple-double as a rookie. And then you have Angel Reese. And cool to note that both the Fever and Angel's team, the Chicago Sky, are vying for playoff spots. I mean, that's how much of an impact these young women are making in their first seasons in the league. So the Sky and the Fever both have a chance to make it into the playoffs with a handful of games left. Angel had most consecutive double-doubles with 15, setting a lot of rookie records in that capacity. Back-to-back 20-rebound games, which is huge as well. So we'd love to know, who is your pick? The poll is up on both of our sites. A lot of you weighing in early on, which is terrific. Coming up, appeared to be getting a little bit tense in the Bay Area. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.